Many of us, we feel like we're kind of on the verge of God doing something new and fresh and amazing in our lives. I heard the story a while back about a young man that, as a teenager, he got a job at a fireworks company. And he ended up working at the countertop out front in fireworks. How many love fireworks? Some of you obviously live in my neighborhood on New Year's Eve. Could I just take a moment and just simply say, you know, New Year's Eve is only one day. You don't need to start like 3 days in advance and go on for 2 days afterwards. But this young man, he worked at a fireworks company and loved fireworks. That's why he took the job there. And 15 years old, was working the front countertop. And he said after a while, he got to the place where he hated working there, because every person that walked in, when they walked in, they asked the very same questions. What's that one do? What's that one do? What's that one doing? So he said eventually what he did was he just came up with one answer. He said, when they'd say, what's that one do? He said, it goes bang. And he said just the same question over and over, something that he once really loved and was so just enjoyed that so much. It got to the place where he just didn't enjoy it. It just wasn't all that special. In fact, now he says he doesn't like fireworks at all. If there's fireworks, he won't go around them, because what was really something spectacular for him one time, the course of life and what took place eventually got to the place where he just didn't enjoy it anymore. Many of us, that's kind of the way life is. Like there's something, there's a place in life where we're loving life, we're moving forward, and there's things that we have passion about, and then life takes its toll on us, and it seems like we end up in a place where it's just not all that wonderful. But yet we know that there's something that's ahead for us. And one of the portions about that that makes it difficult for us is because we sense that there's still something ahead, and yet now we're just not enjoying life the way we used to. Today, I would like to tell you that I believe that you're on the verge of a new day, that you're on the verge of something brand new. And I'm hoping that I'm going to challenge your faith today. There's a word in the dictionary that I love and I don't love. And that word happens to be phenomenal. People use the word phenomenal about all kinds of stuff. Honestly, they use phenomenal about, you know, that was a phenomenal glass of water. Really? That was a phenomenal song. Man, that dinner we went to was the party was phenomenal. Let me tell you a little bit about the word phenomenal, because when used in proper context, it's an amazing word. But the word phenomenal actually means uncommon, extraordinary, unprecedented. Something that's never been imagined or something that's never taken place before. Phenomenal. And yet we've taken what is an amazing word and we've used it and made it just simply common. But I would like to challenge you today, because I believe that there is something that God would love to do in your life that is phenomenal. It's extraordinary. It's uncommon. And maybe for you, it's just simply never been done before. The story that we're going to look at today is in Joshua, the 10th chapter. For the last 4 weeks, we've been in Joshua. And today, we're going to back up just a chapter or two, and we're going to look in Joshua, the 10th chapter. And maybe I'd like to challenge you that need that you have in your life, that goal that you've set, the objective that you'd like to accomplish. The thing that you have in your mind that maybe you even feel like God's planted down inside of you for you to reach for, that it might even seem like it's impossible and that it would take a miracle for you to do that. I would love for you to get a picture today and get an understanding that concerning that job, or concerning the reconciliation of your family, or concerning a sense of purpose, or an emotional lift. Maybe you've been walking in depression, or you've been walking with a heaviness in your heart, and you don't think that you're ever going to be able to go forward, and yet you sense that there's something else for you. I'm going to challenge you today that God wants to do something exceptional, uncommon, phenomenal in your life, maybe something that's not even been done before. And there are so many people that I know today, so many believers, that we say that we have a life, an abundant life, and yet we settle into complacency and we settle into living mediocre lives with very low expectations. But I think the Lord has given us faith. The Bible says that every man has been given a measure of faith, and that measure of faith causes us to believe God. It challenges us to believe God for things that are absolutely impossible, so that we would believe God for the phenomenal. I'm hoping that when you leave here today, that you'll dare to ask God for something that is impossible. I'm hoping that you'll ask God and come into agreement with His word for your life in something that would have seemed to be impossible up to this point, that your family would be healed, that your heart would be reconciled to somebody that you have a broken relationship, that maybe you'll walk in wholeness in your life. Maybe you'll step into the promise that God has for you concerning a job, or the promise that God has for you concerning even a ministry, that you'll move from where you are into a new place. I'm going to dare you to ask God to do something phenomenal. I want you to read with me in Joshua, the 10th chapter, and we're going to start reading in the 7th verse, and we're going to read down to the 14th verse, Joshua, the 10th chapter. Now, let me remind you a little bit of the backstory on this. The children of Israel have come out of Egypt, and they're getting ready to go into the promised land that God has for them. They're getting ready to walk into the destiny that God has for them. And yet there are challenges ahead of them. They're out of the wilderness, and now they have to take ownership. They have to step into what God has, that future that He has. Here we are, Joshua, the 10th chapter in the 7th verse. So Joshua marched up from Gilgal with his entire army, including all the best fighting men. And the Lord said to Joshua, "Do not be afraid of them. I have given them into your hand. Not one of them will be able to withstand you. I have given them into your hand. I have given them into your hand." Now, I want you to notice the tense that he uses here. He uses past tense. Now, Joshua hasn't even stepped into the battle yet. He hasn't even gone to battle. He's not even been on the battlefield yet. And yet, here's what God says: "I've already given them into your hand. I've already made you the conqueror in this. Not one of them will be able to withstand you." He speaks about this battle in past tense. And the amazing thing about that is because in God's mind, in God's perspective, it's already done. In God's mind, in God's perspective, the battle, see, God's not constrained to time or place. God lives in eternity. He lives outside of time. He can move outside of time because time can't control God. God is in control of time. And so God, He moves, and He already knows He's won the victory for Joshua. And in the very same way, He's already won the victory for you. Here's what it says in Romans, the 8th chapter in the 37th verse. In all of these things that we come against in our lives, all of the battles that we face, in all of these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loves us. You're a conqueror today. You've been given the victory through Christ Jesus. The battle in God's mind is already won. And so let's read on in Joshua, the 10th chapter, verse number 9. After an all-night march from Gilgal, Joshua took them by surprise. Now, let me just tell you, I'm going to give you some backstory to who he's taken by surprise. Joshua has come into an alliance with a king. He's not a godly king. He's probably not somebody that Joshua should have come into an alliance with. But now there are five other kings who are going to attack Joshua's friend. They're going to attack him, and so Joshua is running to his defense, and the Lord has a promise concerning that. So let's read this verse one more time. And after all night march from Gilgal, Joshua took them by surprise. The Lord threw his enemies into confusion before Israel, so Joshua and the Israelite defeated them completely at Gibeon. Israel pursued them along the road going up to Beth Haran, and cut them down all the way to Azekah and Makkedah. As they fled before Israel on the road down from Beth Haran to Azekah, the Lord hurled hailstones down upon them. I mean, honestly, seriously, people, for people that say that the Bible is boring, you have not really read the Bible. Like, if you feel like you have to read comic books and go to movies and like Superman and superpowers and all that kind of stuff, and seriously, God hurled hailstones down on the enemies. That's quite an astounding feat that God's done there. And listen to this. And more of them died from hail that day. They were killed by the, then were killed by the swords of the Israelites. You know what that tells me? It tells me that God can do more in a battle in one moment than we could do in a lifetime. God could, if God is for us, who can be against us? And read on. Let's move on. In verse number 12, on the day the Lord gave the Amorites over to Israel, Joshua said to the Lord in the presence of Israel, listen to this prayer that he prays. Sun stand still over Gibeon, and you moon over the valley of Ajalon. Now, 13 words. Sun stand still over Gibeon, and you moon over the valley of Ajalon. Look what God does in the very next verse. So the sun stood still, and the moon stopped, till the nation avenged itself on its enemies, and as it was written in the book of Jasher. The sun stopped in the middle of the sky and delayed going down about a full day, and there has never been a day like it before or since, a day when the Lord listened to a human being. Surely the Lord was fighting for Israel. Will you just read those last words with me? Surely the Lord, say it with me. Surely the Lord was fighting for Israel. I want you to say it with me one more time. Surely the Lord was fighting for Israel. I understand in this story that it's never happened before and it's never happened like this since. I understand and believe that God made the sun stand still. Still, in our lives and in your life, God wants to show up in impossible circumstances. In areas that we think that we're going to be defeated, that somehow a promise isn't fulfilled, God still wants to show up if we will simply believe him. And it might not happen just like this, but he'll show up in the lives of those who will call on him. And I believe that there are phenomenal things that God still wants to do. I believe there are exceptional, uncommon things that he wants to do in your life for the people who will live their life and believe in him. Surely the Lord was fighting for Israel, and today I'm absolutely convinced that the Lord is fighting for you. Surely the Lord is fighting for you today, and when it comes to your family, when it comes to your job, when it comes to your finances, when it comes to your church, when it comes to your country, and everyone else looks at it and says, that's just an impossible thing. Let me just say, this is not just a fairy tale. This is something that God really did, and surely God was fighting for Israel, and I believe God is fighting for you. If the size of the need that you have seems to be too big for you, it's not too big for God. If the size of the need that you have is too impossible for you, it's not impossible for God. If whatever it is that you need God to do, show up in your life, in your job, wherever that would be, it's not impossible for God. Joshua got himself into trouble in this passage. Joshua aligned himself with somebody he should not have aligned himself with. And yet, as he gets himself into trouble, God still shows up. There's a point, I'd like for you to write this down in your notes if you would. This story demonstrates the magnitude of a defining moment. This story demonstrates the magnitude of a defining moment. That these five kings have aligned themselves against Joshua's friend. And now Joshua goes into a battle he shouldn't be going into, but he knows that there's a promise from God. But here's one wonderful thing I love about this passage is it helps me understand that God can take our mistakes and make miracles out of them. God can take the things that we've done in our life and the things that we should not have done in our life, and he can turn them and make them for our good. If any of you, anybody here ever made a decision that you should not have made? You know? Somebody here married somebody you should not have made. Do not look at them right now, you know? Bought something, got yourself into debt, and you're wondering how you're going to get out of that. Got into a relationship you should have never gotten into. You prayed for the Lord to give you children, and now the children are rebellious and the only way things are going to turn around is if God shows up. You've been pursuing pleasure. You've been pursuing stuff in your life, and yet it's left a hole in your heart. And now you're living your life just stuck and living on empty. And you made the decisions that have gotten you to where you are. You've gotten yourself into this situation. But let me just tell you today, God can take your situation that seems to be impossible and turn it around. Even if it's your mistake, God can take your mistake and turn it into a miracle. Would somebody just say, thank you, Jesus. God delivers him in the middle of the battle. It's a battle he shouldn't even be fighting. It's something he shouldn't have to do, but yet God shows up in the middle of that. And as they're fighting this battle, And the Lord says, you've already won the battle. The Lord's going to give you, and all of your enemies are going to be destroyed. The sun starts to go down. And there are still enemies. And so he remembers the promise of God. And this is, to me, it's just one of the most astounding things. He has enemies, and there are still enemies, and the promise of God hasn't been fulfilled in his life yet. And so he claims the promise of God. He asks God to fulfill his promise, that he's supposed to occupy the promised land, that he's supposed to move forward. And in this moment of desperation, he prays a desperate prayer. Has anyone here ever prayed a desperate prayer? I mean, you only pray desperate prayers when you are in great need. In fact, most of the prayers, and he prays a prayer that to me is, it's kind of crazy, because he actually prays a prayer that's an incorrect prayer. We know by science today he prays for the sun to stand still. Well, it's not the sun that moves. It's the earth that revolves around the sun. And so, you know what I love is that he prays an inaccurate prayer and God still answers. Many times we pray prayers, and honestly, our prayers are not exactly right. We don't even know how to say them. We don't even know what we really need. And yet we pray them and God shows up. Let me just tell you, when you call on him, he'll answer and show you great and mighty things that you do not know, is what the Bible says. Here's the second thing I'd like for you to understand. That this is symbolic of the impossible circumstances in your life. That these are impossible things that you're believing God for. And if you'll trust God, what seems to be too difficult for you is not too difficult for God. There's no word impossible for him. And so Joshua prays this prayer for the sun to stand still. It's not impossible for God. And here's what he says, according to your promise, not according to many times what we pray. Honestly, we pray our prayers not out of desperation. We don't pray our prayers according to God's will. We don't pray in agreement with what God says. We actually pray for what we want. And most of the time, it's comfort. That's what we really pray about. Lord, I'm asking you, God, help me get the vacation time. Lord, give me a discount on the cruise I want to take in December. Lord, help me get the house I want. Lord, Mercedes, let me speak two words to you, God. Mercedes-Benz, you know? But we're generally asking God, when we're asking for big stuff, we're asking for things of comfort. And yet what God wants us to do is he wants us to come into alignment with his plan and his will for us. He wants us to pray big things concerning the things that he has planned for us. I'm wondering if there's somebody today that you'll finally begin to pray about the call that God has on your life. That you'll finally begin to pray about being the man or woman of God that he has you to be. That you'll finally begin to pray about your family and serving God in your family the way he wants you to serve God. I'm wondering if there's somebody here that will begin to pray about the career that God wants you to have. If you'll begin to pray, not about your comfort, begin to align yourself with God's will is and pray. And say, Lord, I want to do what you want me to do. And in myself, I can't do it, but only you can do this. So God, I'm asking you, even if you have to make the sun stand still, will you fulfill your promise in my life? Will you do what you say you want to do in my life? Here's what it says in Ephesians, the 3rd chapter in the 20th verse. Now unto him who is able to do immeasurably above all we ask or think, all we ask or imagine, he can do far beyond what you ask or imagine according to his power that is working in us. To him be glory in this church. To him be glory in Christ Church of Orlando. Several years ago, we were having a prayer when our offices used to be over on Old Cheney Highway. We were having a prayer service one Sunday night, and a dear friend of ours, Marcia Robinson, who's a great woman of God, while we were praying, she just stopped and she said, the Lord just instructed me just to say something to you guys. And we were praying for the Lord to save hundreds and thousands and change homes. In fact, we felt like the Lord had kind of impressed on us that our church should reach 10,000 people, that 10,000 people's lives would change for Christ. And so we're praying about 10,000 people, and we're praying for a new facility, and we were praying for the Lord to prosper us and families to be healed and for God to do amazing things among us. And she stopped us, and she said, the Lord just deposited in my heart something I feel like I'm supposed to say to you, and here's what he said. You haven't asked anything hard of me yet. What is it that you've asked God that you think is so impossible? The Lord wants me to respond back to you. You haven't asked anything hard of God yet. Will you believe Him for great things? Will you believe Him for great things in your home? Will you believe Him that He can deliver you from an addiction that you've carried your entire life? That He can deliver you from a depression that you've walked in your entire life? Will you believe today? I'm praying that this service will be a catalyst for you, that you'll wake up to the plan and the power that God has for you. This is an opportunity for you to step into the future. You're on the verge of the future that God has for you, and all you have to do is simply ask Him beyond anything you've asked Him for before. Many times when we pray, I've found that many times we complain when we pray. Lord, why haven't you done this? Why is my life miserable? Why am I still walking in this? As opposed to asking God, Lord, will you just simply do whatever you have to do to make this take place? I'm asking you, even if you have to make the sun stand still, let my marriage come back together. Lord, even if you have to make the sun stand still, let me be reconciled to my child. Lord, even if you have to make the sun stand still, Lord, let me be able to walk out of this addiction. Let me be able to walk out of this depression. Lord, let me walk into the future, the job that you have for me. I'm asking you, whatever you have to do, God, will you do it? Because I believe it's your promise for my life. I'm praying that somebody in this place will get the faith, that you'll grasp the word of God and the power of God, that He has a plan for you, and you're on the verge of a brand new future. Amen. Ask according to His promise. Here's what it says in James, the fourth chapter. When you ask, you do not receive because you ask in wrong motives. Again, many times what we're doing is we're asking just for personal pleasure. We're asking for our own personal stuff. And He's saying, like, ask according to my will. And there's a verse down in Matthew, the 16th chapter and the 19th verse. And Sean, I don't know where he is, but if you'll come back, I'll close faster. The Word of God instructs us that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us in heaven and answers. Let me tell you a story that's taken place in Matthew, the 16th chapter. It, to me, is a fascinating passage. Jesus is meeting with His disciples, and He asks them a question. Who do men say that I am? What is their perception? Because, see, your perception of God, let me just tell you, your perception of God and your faith will... it will be managed by what you think is God's capacity and His character. What you ask God for, it will be limited by what you think is God's capacity and His character. And so He asked them this question, who do men say that I am? And they said, well, some people say that you're John the Baptist. Some people say that you're Elijah, brought back from the dead. And then He looks at His disciples and He says to them, but who do you say that I am? Today, who do you say that Christ is? Does He have the power? Does He have the power to bring life back to a dead marriage? Does He have the power to bring life back where there is no hope? Does He have the power to do that? Who do you say He is? And Peter speaks up and he says, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus says to him, man, flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but only your Father which is in heaven. This is a revelation straight from God. And then He says to him, He says, I'm going to build a church that the gates of hell cannot prevail against. I'm going to put a promise out there that the gates of hell cannot stand against. And let me just tell you, who is that? Who is that church? We are that church. You are the church that the gates of hell cannot stand against. You are the church, and I'm not just talking Christ Church of Orlando. I'm talking about His people that believe in Him everywhere. We are the people that promise was given to, that nothing can keep us, not even the gates of hell can keep us from taking the territory. We're on the verge of taking the territory that God has for us. And then the next line, Jesus says this. He says, whatsoever things you bind on earth could be bound in heaven. Whatsoever things you loose on earth can be loosed in heaven. If you go back and study the original Greek of this, it's interesting because I've heard people misteach this and misuse this. Whatever things you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Okay, whatever things you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Okay, Lord, I'm loosing the lottery numbers onto myself. Lord, I'm loosing that I'll be 6'3" by the end of the week, you know? I'm going to bind that person in my office. I bind the devil back to hell. Did you know you can't actually bind the devil back to hell? You don't have the authority to do that. And here's what the original passage says. You can bind on earth what has already been bound in heaven. And you can loose on earth what has already been loosed in heaven. He's saying, come into agreement what God has already declared in heaven. You can bind things on earth if God has already bound those things. You can loose on earth what the things that God has already loosed for your life. And so today, listen to the voice of God. Hear the voice of God. Hear the promise of God for your family, for your home, for your health, for your finances. Listen to God's voice and come into agreement, and you can bind on earth what has been bound in heaven. What if we really began to pray for God to do miracles here? What if we really began to pray for God to do astounding? What if we began to really pray for God to do phenomenal things, things we've never seen before? Will you pray with me that God will do amazing things? And here's the last point. This story teaches us that asking and acting go hand in hand. Joshua, he had the promise of God, and yet he still had to go into battle. Joshua still had to march all night and fight all night. He still had to go ahead and do it. Here's what the Bible says. God gives us the desires of our heart. I think he gives us the desires of our heart, and yet we still have to work on them. Like it would be like me, like, Lord, I'm going to ask you if you would to give me an A on this test I have coming up. Well, you're going to probably have to study. You're going to have to kind of do some work. You're going to have to be involved in the process. Asking and acting go together. It'd be like me going, okay, Lord, we're going to ask you to fill up Christ Church of Orlando. Lord, let a lot of people come to our church and let their lives be changed for you. Okay. Somebody turn the lights on. We're going to wait. We're waiting. You know what we're going to have to do? We're still going to have to go out and invite them. We're going to have to go out and bring them in. As much as we desire it, as much as we want it, and even if there's a promise of God, we're still going to have to go out and take it. But the Lord has already given it to us. He's already determined it in advance. It already belongs to you, but you just simply have to come into agreement with what God already has determined for your life. So today, your faith, it works together with what God has already planned for you. So I'm going to challenge you today. God's working on your behalf. You're on the verge of something new. You're on the verge of something great. You're on the verge of winning a battle. So I'm going to challenge you, take God's word and believe.